Our reading tonight can be found in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 30, and this can be found in the Blue Church Bibles on page 1012. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Claudia, for reading. Good evening, everybody. Let me add my welcome to that of Andrew's, and a very happy new year to you all. It'd be great if you can keep that passage open as we look at it together now. Let me pray as we begin. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, Father God, you are indeed worthy of all our honour and praise for who you are and what you've done. For what you've done in our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world as a saviour. To save us from our sin, to give us life. And we thank you for him. And we pray that he might be at the centre of our time together now as we look upon him. May we marvel at his greatness. May we wonder at his love and goodness. Speak your words into all our hearts and minds. We pray that we might see the real Jesus this evening. And we pray that in his name. Amen. On a screen is going to come up a painting. A painting by Leonardo da Vinci. It's called Salvator Mundi, which translates as Saviour of the World. I just realised that actually this is the second time that I've used, well, back to back, I've used Latin at the start of my sermon. So I'm not going to make a habit of this, so just so you know. But you can walk into any classic art gallery and look at a painting like that, and you can see a glaring problem. The man looks more like a Renaissance Italian than a first century Jew. In fact, he's probably got a pastier complexion than I have. Clearly, Da Vinci, along with many other artists like him, incorporated their own sort of outlook and circumstances into their paintings. Now, there are other mediums as well that get Jesus wrong. Take, for example, the series Jesus of Nazareth. It's a fairly decent watch. It's the one with Robert Powell. But the actor who plays Jesus as a child rather sticks out with his blonde hair, fair skin, and very deep and bright blue eyes. You see, we get Jesus wrong on his appearance. In fact, we don't actually know what he looked like. Our best guess is that he was sort of an Eastern Mediterranean complexion, an ethnic Jew. And scripture seems to suggest he was quite normal looking. Isaiah 53 verse 2 says, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Now, perhaps more importantly, we get Jesus wrong with his person. Not what he looks like, but who he is. His identity, his character, his power, and his mission. So who is the real Jesus? The world so often gets that question wrong. People think Jesus came just as a moral teacher or a sort of spiritual guru. A little bit like Gandhi or the Dalai Lama. But even in the past, Christians have also got Jesus wrong. Some have said Jesus only came as an example or a demonstration of God's love for us. I've also heard so-called believers say, I like to think Jesus like that, or I like to think of Jesus like this. But does their thinking really match what the Bible says about Jesus? Well, over the next few months, we're going to look at a section of Mark's Gospel so that we might fix our eyes on the real Jesus. Not the Jesus the world has in mind, not the Jesus we have in mind, but the one the Bible speaks of, the one that comes from God himself. That's the real Jesus. Now, like all the Gospel writers, Mark has Jesus' identity center stage. He begins his account in chapter 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And the first sort of 8 chapters prove this claim by giving us the evidence of Jesus' divine authority. His words were powerful and his deeds were powerful. The second half of Mark explains what Jesus, the Messiah, has come to do. And this was certainly a surprise to his followers. And we see in this central section, the one we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, the disciples kind of wrestling with the reality that Jesus is a very different Messiah than the one they were expecting. The one that serves, suffers, and dies. But looking at these passages ourselves, well, it affords us the same opportunity to reevaluate our view of Jesus, the real Jesus. But as we do that, we also are challenged to reevaluate what it means to follow him. Will we also serve, suffer, and lay down our lives? Well, we begin this evening with an introductory statement that sort of gets the ball rolling in this chapter, or certainly starting from this chapter, which is this, and it's going to come up on the screen, which is this: don't miss the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. Don't miss the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. And actually, I want 2 sort of headings that will come underneath that. Don't mistake his identity, and don't misunderstand his mission. So let's take the first of those sort of 2 headings, subheadings. Don't mistake Jesus' identity. Let's read verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Now, how do you think the people of Banstead would answer this question? Yeah, who do Banstead think Jesus is? What would be the response of all our bankers and bakers and baristas and barbers and bartenders? I guess they would give all kinds of different answers, wouldn't they? Some will probably have a similar view as to what I mentioned earlier, that Jesus is some kind of moral teacher, spiritual leader, or guru. Now, many might say that Jesus is the Son of God. But sort of owing to our ever-growing secular society, many will likely have no idea at all who Jesus really is. And there's also a significant number who'd say that Jesus never existed. He's a fictional figure, not a historical person. I mean, just go on YouTube and watch evangelists like Cliff and Stuart Nettle, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his second surname, or the apologist Frank Turek. Just see some of the questions they deal with from students to see kind of where people are at. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? An interesting endeavour for us to go out into the high street and ask our community this question: who do you say Jesus is? It would certainly give us a flavour of Banstead's spiritual temperature. But Jesus doesn't ask this question because he really wants to know what people think of him. He's not unaware of people's thoughts or opinions, He's not trying to fish for compliments either. This is not a question of ignorance or vanity. This is a sort of lead-in or set-up question, a technique that Jesus often utilizes to get to the heart of the matter. He wants to know what his followers think. But rather than sort of diving straight in, he asks this sort of general, quite open question. And it leaves us thinking, well, will the disciples' view of Jesus be different to what the world thinks? Well, they answer Jesus in verse 28. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. Now, there's already been rumblings of these opinions from earlier in the gospel. In chapter 6, Jesus sends out the 12 with authority to drive out demons and preach a message of repentance. And no doubt during that time, the disciples heard many opinions about Jesus. And Mark tells us that prior to the 12 going out, Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. He heard rumors that John had been raised from the dead. And he seems to have adopted those views after hearing about Jesus and his disciples' ministry. Others believe Jesus was Elijah, whose ministry was very akin to John. Although it should really be the other way around, for John came after in the likeness of the Old Testament prophet. And still others think that if it's not Elijah, well, then it's one of the other Old Testament prophets. In Matthew's gospel account of this episode, actually Jeremiah is referenced with this sort of third option. What perhaps unites these three individuals is that they were sort of national reformers. They challenged the corrupt rulers of the day. That gives us an idea of who people hope Jesus might turn out to be. But the fact that there was sort of various opinion shows a level of uncertainty. There's an air of vague ambiguity. And that's perhaps particularly true because of the region that they were in. This area was formerly of the tribe of Dan, a northern territory, far away from the sort of epicenter of Judaism in Jerusalem. It had become a place associated with idolatrous worship, such as Micah's carven image in the days of the judges, and the golden calves with Jeroboam when Israel split after the time of King Solomon. It was also a place where the Greek god Pan was worshipped, and Caesarea Philippi was dedicated to Herod's son, and had also had the Roman temple to Caesar Augustus within the city. And so with such a history and a widespread practice of this sort of Greco-Roman religion, well, many people would have been ignorant to Jesus. It's easy to see why the Gentiles, the non-Jews, would miss the identity of the Messiah completely. Of course, the Jews and the Samaritans would have been expecting such a person. We may have read over the Christmas period about Simeon and Anna, two faithful servants waiting for the Lord's chosen. And people like them knew the promises God had made in the scriptures. But perhaps the tragedy of a broken kingdom and years of foreign occupation meant that most hoped this figure would restore Israel to its former glory, like it was under King David. But was Jesus going to be the one they had in mind? The one they hoped for? Now, you might have seen the film, The Monty Python's Life of Brian. Maybe not. It's kind of an irreverent movie, slightly. I did wonder about mentioning this evening. But it does involve a bit of a mistaken identity where the protagonist, Brian, is falsely identified as the Christ. And crowds flock to him, and he ends up on many misadventures trying to get rid of them. And of course, we get that very famous line of his mother, which she shouts to the crowd, "He's not the Messiah, he's just a very naughty boy." Well, here in our passage, there is also a case of mistaken identity, but it's in the reverse. See, Jesus is not seen as the Messiah. He's just seen as some kind of prophet. And we kind of see that same sort of thing in our world today, as we said. People only see Jesus as this spiritual teacher and nothing more. They mistake his identity. And both the irreligious and the religious miss the point that he is the Messiah. They don't see the real Jesus. And so that's why it's so important for us to go and spread the gospel. Otherwise, people end up with a wrong idea about him or don't know about him at all. And so it's rather good then that we have this Hope Explored course coming up and starting next week where we can find out about the real Jesus. Now, that might be something that you want to investigate for yourself. It's two different sessions, either an afternoon or evening, that take over the next three Tuesdays. You can sign up online or you can come and have a word with me afterwards if you want a little bit more detail on that. It's also worth saying to perhaps the church family with Hope Explored to think who you could bring along as well. Don't just expect that people or friends will just sign up on their own. Invite them, come along with them. That will help them. And then you can use that course as a platform for future discussions. So let me commend that to you as something to do with that. See, Jesus says, don't miss the truth about him, that he is the Messiah. Don't make a mistake about his identity. But also, don't misunderstand his mission. Let's read verse 29. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Now here we see Jesus getting personal. He says, okay, that is what the world says about me. But what about you? What about you? What about you? Do you see me just like them, or do you see something different? Well, as you might expect, he's a bit of a bull in a china shop. Peter, straight away, replies, you're the Messiah. But Peter's a little bit like a spokesman for the disciples. You know, depending on how he reacts, it kind of gets the feeling of the rest of the disciples. He gives what we might call this Sunday school answer, which is, you are the Messiah. This is the kind of great pronouncement, the climax, the crescendo of this middle act in Mark's gospel. But actually, it shouldn't really be a great surprise to us that Peter gets this answer correct. See, by the time he'd seen many of Jesus' miracles, he'd seen Jesus raise a widow's son. The calming of the storm, the casting out of many demons, and the feeding of the 5,000. You see, he certainly knew that Jesus was more than a prophet. Perhaps what's stranger then is Jesus' response to this confession. And Jesus says, verse 30, that he warned them not to tell anyone about him. Why would Jesus want to keep things on the sort of lowdown, on the hush-hush? I think we would expect Jesus to commend Peter, a little bit like a teacher does with their student. Yeah, well done, Peter. You got it right. Here's a gold star. Keep up the good work. But Jesus doesn't do that. He tells him to keep quiet about him. Now, as you can imagine, this has been sort of interpreted in various ways. But the simplest reading is that Jesus' call for silence is because the disciples don't understand what it means for him to be the Messiah. See, Peter might have been right on the button with his answer, but that doesn't mean that he had it all worked out. He misunderstood Jesus' mission, what he came to do. Now, our passage doesn't go into the details of that. You're going to have to come back next week to learn more on that. But actually, we can still consider some quite important applications. The first and perhaps most important thing we need to do is answer the question that Jesus gives his disciples. Who do you say I am? Who do we say Jesus is? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves, because it has real, eternal significance for our lives. There's probably not a more important question to ask. Now, it seems fitting that we have a sort of new year. We're in the new year, I should say, that it's a sort of a fresh start, and we can have a bit of a fresh evaluation on how we think things are going spiritually in our lives. So even if we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, we still might misunderstand what that really means. And our understanding should come from what the Bible says about him. So do we see the real Jesus? It might be that we sort of need to realign our thinking. As we said at the start, that's why we're going through this section of Mark's gospel. To have a right picture of Jesus, not a phony one. We need to reevaluate our view of him and what it means to be his disciples. You see, we don't want to be mistaken about Jesus' identity, because that might bring a disappointment when we realize he actually doesn't fill our expectations or our ideas. See, and with that, we've got to say we don't want to let the world or even our own thinking dictate what we believe about him. But we also don't want to misunderstand Jesus' mission, because that might actually bring despair when we realize what it truly means to follow him. It would be an odd thing if our life and ministry had little resemblance to Jesus. So those things are worth us thinking about. And what I would really love is to sort of take these points that we have this evening and take them through our series over the next few weeks. And sort of think about this picture of who Jesus really is and what he came to do, and build on it as we go through week by week so we see who Jesus really is. See, we don't want to miss the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. We don't want to mistake his identity, and we don't want to misunderstand his mission. And so it would be much better that we are shaped by the word so that we might clearly see the real Jesus and what it means to follow him. Let me pray for us. Father, we do pray that you would help us, moving forward from this evening, to see the real Jesus. That we take who he is and what he has come to do from you and your word. Not from the world, not from ourselves. May we have a clear idea then of what it means to follow him. Help us to not be mistaken or to misunderstand, but to truly know who Jesus is. And may that fill us with joy and praise and gladness, knowing the King and the Saviour we serve. And we pray that in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again as a response to what we've just heard. And this song is really just singing about the real Jesus. So when the band are ready, we will stand and sing together.